living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Yo, 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 pop, pop. Welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Test Premium Network. As always, I don't do these reviews by myself because only crazy people do podcasts by themselves. I have a guest. That's right. I went out and got someone else that is into movies and has a very like esteemed critical opinion. I got Monica from Cinema Fix on Film Geek Radio. If you want to check out that podcast. Also, she writes for everybody, and she's on Twitter at mcastymovies and Tumblr at mcastymovies. Hey, Monica, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Glad to have you back. Through the magic of editing, people think it's a whole different day.
Yay!
Today's movie that we're reviewing is Gravity, the 2013 film Gravity that stars Sandra Bullock and George Clooney and pretty much space. Like, that's the stars of it.
Space is a big star.
It really is.
That is the biggest snub, yeah, so far this year, is that Space does not get enough credit.
Well, just another black person not getting nominated.
Oh.
So but it, you can this is obviously reviews for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't care about spoilers, because we spoil everything. And Sandra does make it back to Earth by herself, despite being a doctor in space with only 6 months of training. Let's go ahead and get right into it. We do it very simple here. We talk about what worked for a movie, what didn't work for a movie. And then we give it our reviews from 0 to 5 on the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. I will start with you first, Monica. What worked for this movie for you?
Man, I hope you liked it, because this one I did like. I thought the relationship between, the rapport between Sandra Bullock and George Clooney were really believable, and they were fun to watch. They were interesting, because granted, after like the big satellite shower happens, like, they're really limited on what they can do physically, at least. They're floating for most of the time, but you're still, like, scared. And as a person who's pretty afraid of heights, I was on the edge of my seat, my nails digging into the armrest, really nervous. And this was not even IMAX or anything like that. This was just regular old theater. Mm-hmm. I thought the effects were amazing. That's why Space should definitely be credited. It should be Space as seen through the magic of computers Alfonso Cuarón got.
Did you say it in 3D?
I did see it in 3D.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, let me talk about some things that worked for me. George Clooney's eyes, they worked. Again.
Do they never not work?
So soulful. Just, yeah, they always work, but it's like in space when it's just you and him alone.
You want those eyes.
Yeah, you could fall into them like saucers. So they because that kind of was just his role, as just this soulful dude, spirit guide almost.
Except that he's kind of wayward in a way, because he's kind of like a jokester. Mm-hmm. How I imagine George Clooney kind of to be in real life. He's got like this crazy story.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I guess I'll hear it again.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of cool that, you know, like his character brought something to the actual you know, well, his calming influence kind of brought something to it, because the movie pretty much is a series of calamities.
Mm-hmm.
And he guides you through the first few with this like calming influence, even though as an audience member you can't help but think, like, you know, well, look, you're running out of oxygen, but you still have a little bit left in the suit, so you should be able to. But in real life, you're like, I'm running out of oxygen, you're gonna die! You are going to die! So.
No, that's exactly what I think. I was like, oh, I'm out. I'd be dead by now.
Right.
I'd be floating.
So that was cool. Another thing that worked, obviously special effects. This is one of those few movies where you have to see it in a theater, in my opinion, to really, yes, fully appreciate it.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah,
you will not get the same feeling in an iPhone on your palm.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It's just not going to catch it. So it's one of the times where this was designed to be shown to you on a big screen in 3D. Probably even IMAX. I didn't see it in IMAX either, but from my understanding, people are even like, yo, even IMAX is just popping off the screen.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, I'd actually go check it out just for that aspect of it. We get way too many 3D movies that really are terribly done and do a disservice to the genre. So, you know, support something that does so that Hollywood will know to keep doing these. And it's doing pretty good numbers. So, that's good.
Yeah, and hey, speaking of things that Hollywood should keep going, how about a female lead?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's definitely not enough of those. And
especially,
the whole movie is on her.
Especially if it's Sandy. Because I love me some Sandy.
No, because I have a love-hate relationship with her. And in this movie, I was just, like, it redeemed the past few things I'd seen her in.
I don't know why anybody hates Sandy. I love me some Sandy.
Her movie choices.
Oh, she just, I know she picks so many good movies and good roles that she just brings herself to. Like she, and I know it's not popular, but, she actually was good in The Heat for me, and I didn't expect that movie. I didn't expect to like that movie at all, and I actually left there surprised. Like, huh, I just think I watched a buddy cop movie starring two women that was rated R, and I actually enjoyed myself as opposed to
I wanted to like that so much more.
Yeah, but you know, point being, I root for Sandy is what I'm saying.
Okay, Team Sandy.
Yeah, I'm Team Sandy. So they she handled it so well in this movie. Like even people that don't like her had to like fall back on this shit because she knocked it out the park because it's kind of just her in space, overwhelmed the entire time. So she does such a good job of displaying the overwhelmedness, and even when she's being like competent and understanding, it's still, you still have this feeling of like what an enormous task getting back to land is going to be. No matter what, you know, it's just like, it doesn't matter, training or no training, you would be freaking the fuck out. And that was how I felt the whole time. I was like, I'm freaking the fuck out. So that
I was definitely freaking the fuck out. And I was in a row of film critics. So most of them, you know, sitting back, just taking it all in. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. So she nailed that. Some of the other things I think that worked, the loss of Mission Control's voice, played by Ed Harris, and how like very, you know, like it would come in for a second and you're like, did they hear him? Can they hear them back? And, just this idea of like, there's no one even watching you. No one knows what's going on right now.
Get to the next person.
Right. It just really, no one's going to like, cause like in all these other type of movies like this, there's always kind of this like in a lot of these like an airplane in the air and we got to land it type movie. There's always like, Mission Control is going to guide you in, calm down. This is what you're going to do. You see a little red light right there. You're going to flip. There was none of that. You know, she's like reading manuals in space.
That were not in English.
Right. Like, I'm just thinking like, I can't even put my desk together. This woman is dead. So, that was like, I think, and then I guess the last thing I'll say for what worked was just that feeling of being overwhelmed. It was just so well done. Oh, and the time, it was like 90 minutes pretty much exactly. Like, they don't, add a lot to the story. They keep a tight cast, tight, dialogue. And because of that, it really works even better because I don't think there's a ton to this movie. But they don't treat it like there's a ton to the movie. So there, you know, some other director might have added 20 minutes of, hey, let's like show her with her daughter and on Earth and let's.
Yeah, the flashback.
Right. You know, what did the guy from Mission Control, what did they order for breakfast? You know, let's keep it human. I'm glad that they just like, look, no one cares about that shit. Yeah. Let's just show what people care about.
Agreed.
Let's talk about what didn't work. What did not work for you, Monica?
I could see, so the subplot with the daughter I thought was a little like trying to wring emotion into it where you didn't really need so much. I was already on the edge of my seat and felt terrible for her. And then now it's this other tragedy. Oh, and she lost her daughter. Ah, you know, it just felt a little too fake.
Yeah, it was they had some very on the nose moments. In this joint. I will say, obviously it was still a movie. So there's some, like, scientific concepts that felt a little like toy with. There's some, like, unbelievable coincidences in this shit where you're just like, hold up, you can just see a space station from another space station and just like ride on.
This is really sketchy. I took it all at face value,
right?
Because I'm already so scared. I'm like, oh my god, is she gonna make it?
Yeah.
But the moment that was like too much for me, because it's really like this can't get any worse. This can't get any worse. This okay, really, we can't get any worse. Was at when she finally lands in the water,
and
then it starts streaming in. So she gets pushed back and she's gonna drown now after all that shit.
Yes.
She's gonna drown.
Like, I was like, oh my god, she is dying on Earth. Like, this is some bullshit.
Shit.
Right. I was like, I can't believe this is the decision guys made to kill her on Earth. The series of calamities it felt almost a little cartoon, but, and I think that's also because the movie's 90 minutes and they don't really, there's really no, it's like a 90 minute sprint, you know,
it's like an amusement ride.
Yes. You never get to it's like a music ride that never goes all the way up that hill. You just keep going downhill so quickly. You were just, oh, we're back downhill. Oh, we're going back downhill. It like, you are at the top of that hill for like 0.1 seconds before some new shit pops off. So, that was very like intense for me. The entire like her, that in a way, just, you had to suspend your disbelief because, and especially, for me, my crazy moment is actually very early in the film. When she survives the second wave of satellites streaming across the Earth, just like knocking debris into stuff, that was my moment of like, oh no, she just die. Like, just let it go.
It
ain't worth it. You know, there's no, cause she's like trapped outside. You see the debris that's floating across the Earth at like fucking thousands of miles an hour. Just, you're like, there's no way you're going to live through this. And she does, which,
incredible.
It's extremely incredible.
I know
incredible.
A lot of people didn't buy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Because also it felt lucky. Like, you know, and in this movie, there's, I'm of two minds about this movie. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I had a great time. But then there's this other part that I'm really just let down by, America and our education system. Because I found out that a lot of people don't know space is hard. And I was very confused when people were like, I can't believe space is so deadly. I'm like, yes, it's deadly. Remember when we learned there's no oxygen and there's no ozone layer.
When George Clooney comes into the space, like capsule that she's in, nobody thought that, oh, she should be dead right now.
She
didn't have her helmet.
Listen to me, Monica. That was my first thought. And a lady in my audience was like, oh no, she got to close the door or something like that. Cause I had a very lively audience and the amount of ignorance there is to space was just, it was real bad.
Got a big job to do.
Yeah. We really need some science classes because I think I was on edge because I already knew all this shit about space. So like the second she was there, I think George Clooney's like, where'd you get your training? And she's like, well, I trained for 6 months and I never learned how to land. I was like, okay, don't think NASA should be doing that, letting people into space like that. But yeah, I'm more scared for her.
Experienced crew. She can ride shotgun.
Right. You got it, buddy. You're a doctor working on a satellite. That was very Hollywood of them to even, come up with that, but whatever.
No, I just knew immediately that was going to be like the final girl. Right. It's perfect. He doesn't know what she's doing, but she'll magically get there.
Yeah. Yeah. The real underlying moral of the story is that women can't drive, guys. But we will
survive the shit out of the apocalypse.
Yeah. They'll live through the crash, but, they definitely can't drive to Earth. Am I right, guys, up top? But, I thought that, it was very, the one part that really, and I guess it's everyone's controversial thing, and maybe it works for some people, maybe it didn't. I didn't like any of the shit with the weird guy talking to his dog. And then I hear there's like another short film that you can watch that, and it kind of puts some background to the guy talking to his dog in some other weird language or whatever. But I shouldn't have to go see another film to get that part of the film.
I didn't even know that existed, so I think you don't need it. Mm-hmm. It's like a bonus for those who are like really big fans and can't get enough of this. Because right. You know there's going to be a whole bunch of kids that are just going to eat the DVD extras up.
Right, right. Yeah.
They want to see how they made those zero Gs and all the computer stuff. And then this is, you know, this will also be like a short film from the same director. Cool, I'll see that.
They kind of lost me a little bit with that, because I didn't get like how she was even getting that broadcast and what that was supposed to mean.
I kind of understood it. It's like a ham radio that she picked up, because that's an earth-based signal. This is going to be really geeky, but like my step grandfather does those ham radios to talk to people in the Caribbean. So like he just picks up random strangers and will talk to them and ask them like how, you know, things are going over on the island, that sort of thing.
But it sounded like that dude was recording himself talk to his dog or something.
Maybe because I couldn't understand. It's just a person. He's just like trying to talk, like how truckers would talk to each other on the road, that sort of thing.
So could he hear her?
It could have, maybe, but there was a language difference.
Yeah, I couldn't, I don't know, it just lost me right there. It felt unneeded.
I guess because I have the understanding, because another friend of mine who was with me was like, I didn't get the radio part.
Yeah.
And I guess I did, because I have that background knowledge, but I guess that's not a thing that happens much anymore.
Yeah, like I know how shortwave radio works, and I know how like my uncle's a trucker and stuff like that, so I know how CB works and all that, but it felt, maybe because of the language barrier and then the dog being there, it felt
it's just, if the guy had it set up in his like house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what I mean is,
the dog comes in and barks or whatever.
Yeah, what I mean is, what I mean is I couldn't, because of the language barrier, I couldn't tell if they were having a quote unquote conversation, even a jumbled, like he's trying to understand her, she's trying to understand him conversation. Mm-hmm. It felt like she could have just picked up a recording. I couldn't tell, like it didn't feel like, oh, here's that one last reach for humanity. It felt more like she happened to overhear a dude talking to his dog. That's how it felt to me in the theater. And like maybe if they could have went back and forth a little bit, maybe I would have picked it up. I couldn't tell if they could understand each other or even talk to each other. And then obviously Clooney, Ghost Clooney, spirit guy coming into the into the capsule to tell her not to give up and to live.
Yeah, I'd rather not happen, because it was the entire time he was talking, I just kept thinking she should be dead.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then it felt really, really on the nose, because then I guess it was like, okay, this is about how you can't give up hope even though your daughter's dead, and you know, you gotta forgive yourself, and you gotta, you know, move on. And
again, that dead daughter thing, we could have done totally without.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a sense of guilt.
I agree. So yeah, that was the only thing that didn't work for me, was that. And I guess for people, you know, that have seen the movie, or, you know, if you haven't seen it, the only reason it stuck out to me is because the rest of the movie seems so grounded in like a certain type of reality, that when she's having her kind of weird chat with Ghost Clooney, it just drew me out, like, oh yeah, I guess it is a movie, you know. Like, I guess some weird ghost shit could happen, and
yeah,
you know, I guess Bruce Willis is gonna come by and, you know, be dead the whole time too. So all right, let's rate this bad boy from 0 to 5. What do you give it, Monica?
I'd give this one a 4. Sure, it's got its flaws, but wow, is it amazing to see in theaters.
Yeah, full price opening weekend, and I agree with Monica. And you should definitely go see this in theater. It's still out. You have a chance. Go see it, because you should see this in an actual seat with big ass screen around you. Mm-hmm. And loud speaker. So this has been another episode of Movie Trailer Reviews. Make sure you guys continue to check us out. We'll be back with another review shortly, and make sure you guys check out Monica M. Casty Movies on Twitter and Tumblr. We appreciate all you guys who do that. Until next time, peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.